Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. This is William Tincup. Brian is in a board meeting today and will not join us, but we will march on without him, without our friend and co-host, Mr. Wimpen. Hopefully he's doing well and having a good day. But today I have one of my absolute favorites in the space on, so I think we're going to have a fun show. We're all going to get to learn a little bit about online recruiting and the world that Peter exists in, both in San Francisco, which is an interesting talent market, but also he travels a lot and speaks in front of folks, so we'll be able to kind of leverage him for a lot of different ways. But I want to thank everyone for listening, and without any further ado, I want to actually get right to it. Pete, if you don't mind, let's start off with just introductions. Why don't you tell the audience who you are and like what you do?
Yeah, totally. Thanks for having me, Lynn. I have a question for you. Is that you singing on the intro music?
Yeah, I wish, right? I cannot. I think I'm tone deaf. I cannot carry that's probably why I listen to hip hop, but let's put that aside. I cannot carry a tune to save my life.
Got it. You have always kind of given me the thug life kind of feel. Okay. I can give you a quick introduction. Hey, everyone out there in Drive Through HR world. Awesome to be here chatting with y'all. My name is Pete Kazanji. I'm a founder of TalentBin. We're a software company out here in San Francisco, as William alluded to, and we make a talent search engine called TalentBin that essentially is it's kind of like LinkedIn's LinkedIn recruiter tool, insofar as a candidate search engine, a recruiter-facing candidate search engine. But what we kind of help recruiters do is make use of all of the really interesting implicit professional activity that the candidates engage in across the rest of the web outside of LinkedIn. So, our system is kind of like Google, but for candidates. And so we crawl, places like Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and Meetup and Quora and GitHub and Stack Overflow and all these places where candidates have a tendency to hang out, kind of showing off what they're good at in a way that they might not explicitly put on their LinkedIn profile, largely because, while recruiters and HR people and kind of salespeople spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, software engineers and scientists and, mechanical engineers, they have a tendency not to. So, anyway, that's what we do. We have a bunch of engineers out here in our office, a bunch of salespeople, have a pretty cool view of the Bay Bridge, and we spend all day long thinking about how to make better talent discovery and talent search tools to make recruiters' life easier. So, William, do you think that was a good description?
No, that's fantastic. It's rounding out the story. I think that the resume is, for a lot of people, it's an incomplete kind of an encapsulation of who they are and what they do. LinkedIn's
right.
a little bit better than a resume. And I think the tools that you're bringing to the market is like, let's round out the story. Let's actually tell a fuller story about a candidate. Let's do this from all the clients that you interact with.
Yeah.
What do you think's top of mind for them? What are they really solving for? What's keeping them up at night?
I mean, I think the thing that's keeping them up at night, because largely we started out, in the technical recruiting space. We've now kind of moved into like science and biotech and pharma and defense and things like that. But the folks that we work with are trying to find those very kind of high end candidates. Right, software engineers or like bench lab chemists or like aerospace engineers and things like that. And the thing that's like driving them nuts is that these folks are very hard to find, right? Because they know like, oh my gosh, I had to hire, five iPhone developers like yesterday, right? Where am I going to find these people? They're not applying to my job postings on Monster, Crew Builder, or Dice. Okay, cool. Where am I going to find them? Because I got to engage with them. I got to persuade them that that the opportunity that I'm working on is going to be awesome for them. But holy mackerel, where am I going to find these folks? And also, how am I going to find the ones that haven't already been kind of peppered to death by a bunch of other recruiters already? So I think that's kind of like the big thing is like, where am I going to find this talent that's going to help my company kick butt? Because I know my company is an awesome place to work and I have a great story to tell associated with that, right? And I know that they'd be really excited with this opportunity. I just got to find them and find a way of engaging with them. I think that's kind of the big thing that kind of keeps our clients up at night, so to speak.
Well, the purple squirrels, the hard to find, you know, the purple squirrel in the purple forest, you know, hiding behind the purple tree, et cetera. You know, it's funny. I was out in the Bay Area a couple of weeks ago, and actually, you know, you and I hung out, and I learned for the first time that really the financial services industry, they're hiring a ton of software engineers. It's not just out in the Bay Area. It's not just Twitter is, you know, getting people from Google, and Google's getting people from Oracle. Oracle's getting people from Salesforce, et cetera. It's that financial services firms are, because they're a little bit behind the curve, they're hiring a ton of software engineers. So they're throwing a ton of money and a lot of perks and all that stuff at it as well. First of all, is that what you're seeing? Do you see that happening as well?
Well, I think there's a venture capital firm out here called, and Animal just yelled at me to get off of speakerphone. I think it was my headset. Sorry about that, Animal. Hopefully this is better. There's a venture capital firm called Andreessen Horowitz. It's founded by this dude, Mark Andreessen. People maybe have heard about him. He was kind of the inventor of the first web browser, Netscape. So on and so forth, but they have this idea of this, you know, turn of phrase that software is eating the world is kind of the way that they term it. And really what it comes down to is that like people are pretty much every part of the economy is being heavily touched by software. And so when you think about traditional places where software was, you know, software was important and thus software engineers, that was you know, software companies like Adobe or Google or Twitter or, you know, or Microsoft. Well, the reality is that like even companies like UPS, right? You know, they have massive engineering departments because it takes a pretty amazing software to kind of route all those packages all over the place, right? And the same is true of like financial services, but even places like, you know, pharma and biotech and even defense, like, traditionally, those defense companies that were making airplanes or what have you, they're now making drones that need software to, like, you know, fly around. So I think that, like, that's only some – the demand is only increasing, and that actually is exacerbating kind of the problem. Just going back to what you were saying before, what keeps people up at night, the demand is only increasing, and so it makes it harder and harder to kind of find these untapped purple squirrels. Side note. Funny that you make the joke about purple squirrels. Back when I was a hiring manager at VMware, we always called really hard to find candidates unicorns. And then when I, you know, started working on Talent, one of my account executives, Brad, is a former recruiter. He's awesome, and he introduced me to the concept of the purple squirrel. I was like, what the heck is that? And he's like, yeah, it's an impossible to find candidate. It's like, you know, when that hiring manager comes to you and is like, you know, gives you the most ridiculous rec of all time, with all these criteria. And you know it's going to take forever to find that person, and they're already going to have 10 of their job offers, that's a purple squirrel. So we kind of combined the two, and so our mascot is actually a purple squirrel riding a unicorn. And they have a name. It's JD, like job description. So JD is the squirrel, and then Rex is the unicorn. So we kind of do that as a way of celebrating recruiting culture.
Nice. Before I ask you the craziest recruiting story you've ever kind of seen play out, I want to get your take on two popular terms, candidate experience and talent communities. When you hear someone talking about or writing about the candidate experience, well, you know, what comes to mind? First of all, just and there's no right or wrong. It's just how do you feel when you hear candidate experience?
Well, I think when I think about candidate experience, and, you know, I'm not nearly as expert at this stuff as, like, you know, Sarah White and Jerry Crispin and those folks who think about this stuff all the time and the folks who work on the candy stuff. When I think about that, it's actually just kind of like respect for the candidate and kind of like respect for the lead, or respect for the prospect, respect for the candidate, and making sure that, like, you're bringing them an opportunity that is good for them and that they're going to get excited about. And then if they end up being an applicant, that they are respected and kind of brought through the process in a way that, you know, is good for them and is going to, you know, going to make it so that even if they don't end up getting a job, they end up, you know, telling all their friends about the fact that, like, this is an amazing company, you should check in, you know, referring people in there. When we think about that from, like, because we think about this from a talent discovery and initial engagement standpoint, like, we think about the talent, the candidate experience kind of at the top of the funnel. We think about that from the standpoint of making it really easy for recruiters to find the people who are going to be excited about the opportunity. So in this offer example, like, there's nothing more infuriating than a recruiter coming to a candidate and, you know, approaching them about a role that's irrelevant. A lot of the time, the reason why that happens is because the recruiter didn't have the right data to kind of zoom in on the right person, and didn't have kind of like a nice picture of them with which to engage with them initially. So when we think about kind of candidate experience at the top of the funnel, it's all about helping the recruiter zoom in on the people who are going to be responsive to the opportunity that they're representing, and then making it really easy, giving the recruiter everything they need in order to have like a really awesome, engaging conversation with that person from the get-go. Essentially, you know, all the stuff that recruiters would like to do if they had all the time in the world, but sometimes have to take shortcuts on because you got to have your activity numbers up. So that's kind of...
You hear the concept. First of all, those great. You hear the concept. Talent communities getting thrown a lot, and it's essentially the pipeline, the sales pipeline.
Yeah.
But now the other side of the equation. First of all, what do you? Same thing. What do you feel when you hear the term talent communities?
I think when I think about talent communities, I think it's one of those things that like agency recruiters have really known for a long time that. And this goes back to, again, one of our account executives, Brad, is a former technical recruiter, and I've learned a lot from him, that, you know, it's about forming relationships and being a good agent of someone, and so of a candidate, and actually in this case, like a pool of candidates, such that when they're ready to move, you're their first number, or your first dial, or alternatively that you're pushing stuff to them. That, you know, so they, if they don't even realize they're quite ready to move yet, but, you know, the right opportunity comes along, they're like, oh, yeah, I will take that. I think this is something that agency recruiters have known for a long time, and that it's starting to kind of more and more come into the enterprise world. And then the question is, okay, well, what are the tools that can help enable that? Is it going to be really transactional where it's like, oh, my gosh, I've got this rec, I've got to put a butt in the seat? Or is it, hey, I know over the coming year I need to put, you know, $15 in these 15 seats, so I need to make sure that, like, I have a pipeline full of 200 or 300 or 400 of these folks and that I'm engaging with them and, you know, making sure to, you know, remind them that we're here and that we're an exciting place to work and so on and so forth. So when I think about talent communities or pipelining or, you know, these are all kind of like CRM concepts, I think that's a good thing. Now the question is, you know, are people executing on it well, right? Like, do they have the content marketing stuff to push to those candidates that have expressed interest in their organization? That might be where like some people don't see kind of like the promise of the talent community coming true. But I think that that's kind of a question of, like, you know, expertise, and like I think eventually that expertise will get there. Especially, you know, considering there's a menagerie of kind of like online recruiting experts who who can help you, you know, figure out the best way of doing that. Like,
Not me. The you know, Stack Overflow comes to mind as a wonderful kind of a community where a lot of user-generated content kind of comes to play, and they're solving each other's, because, you know, most technical kind of wired, you know, men and women are challenge oriented. So it's a lot of Q&A, it's a lot of challenges, it's a lot of kind of content there. What do you think of, I mean, you know, in general, what do you think of Stack Overflow, but what do you think of like concepts like that?
Well, I'm going to steal what you said earlier, which is like resumes are weird things. Essentially what they are is like, they're kind of like historical anachronism, where essentially you had to boil the entirety of your existence into this 8.5 by 11 piece of paper because that's, you know, because conveniently that's what, you know, it could fit in a filing cabinet, right? And unfortunately, it's like a pale representation of what that individual actually is, but it's like, you know, it's the best that we could do because we had artificial constraints like filing cabinets. What's interesting, though, is that, like, that's a representation of all the work that you've done and kind of like what your expertise is and all of, you know, all the, like, especially for knowledge workers, all the knowledge that you've created and consumed and so on and so forth. What's, getting back to your question about Stack Overflow and other online forums or email lists or, like, even things like Pinterest and Twitter and what have you, is that we no longer have those constraints of, you know, the quote-unquote filing cabinet, or we have infinite filing cabinets. We have, you know, databases. And so, you know, the fact that people naturally create this information while they're going about their day-to-day, whether that's creating PowerPoint decks or just the reams of email that I create, for instance, all that stuff kind of naturally characterizes you. And so if you think about it, like, you know, we're at a point where you could have, you know, the term that John Sumser likes to use that I steal literally from him is this concept of a data jacket. We're now at a point where, you know, your professional data jacket can kind of follow you around, which is cool because, like, now, I'll give you an example. My background is as a product manager and a product marketing guy from the software world. But I spend most of my time doing sales operations at my organization. I don't have that reflected on my resume or my LinkedIn profile because I've been too busy to reflect it. But if you were to consume my activity, you know, based on my emails and who I follow on Twitter and tweet and things like that, it's pretty clear that I'm into sales operations for the last 12 months. So I think all that online kind of stuff is actually really powerful and awesome because it's going to make it such that really amazing opportunities can find people who, you know, are good at what they do. So I think it's awesome, but that's, you know, that's why I run a company that's working on it.
Sure. Social recruiting, how much of it do you think is hype? And also follow-up to that is, where do you see it working? Specifically, is it mediums? Is it content? Is it towards specific positions, et cetera?
Wait, say that again, William. My phone cut out for a second.
Sure. The first question is, how much of social is hype? And the follow-up to that is, where do you see it working?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is – I'm also being distracted by the fact that that animal is saying obnoxious things about me in the back channel on, mm-hmm. on Twitter, as he's wont to do. But I think social recruiting is kind of one of those things where the term – let's be honest, like, recruiters are very social human beings. And so they, like, historically, and the kind of first social technology that they used in order to do their job was phones. So I think that, like, recruiting is inherently kind of like a social exercise insofar as it's a conversation and a transaction that happens between people. Now, social recruiting as a concept is, like, very bandied around a lot. I think there's notions of broadcast that are really powerful. You know, things like Bullhorn and JobVite and kind of Workfor Labs and things like that have done a good job of helping folks kind of make use of kind of social broadcast channels to kind of distribute their opportunities. But that's not terribly different than back in the day when you had people, you know, broadcasting their jobs onto, you know, want ads or broadcasting their jobs onto kind of other vectors. I think what's kind of new and, like, a new version of social recruiting is discovery-centric. Like, obviously, LinkedIn, a lot of people say that LinkedIn isn't social recruiting. I actually believe that it is, insofar as it's a social network of people that then has LinkedIn Recruiter on top of it. And, you know, you're recruiting those people out of a social network. But I think what's kind of a new thing is that, you know, the ability for recruiters to do discovery based on social activity kind of in the world. And I think that's just starting out. So when people think about social recruiting, they think about broadcast-oriented stuff as opposed to search-oriented stuff. Now, people like Glenn Caffey and Arena Shemeva and folks like that have known for a long time that you could, you know, you could bend Google to your will in order to discover people on these social sites. It just hasn't, you have to be Arena Shemeva or Glenn Caffey or Shelly Steckel to do it. But I think that, like, that's, you know, that's kind of the an emerging part of social recruiting that's, you know, pretty exciting.
If you could go back and give advice to your former self when you first started with Honestly.com, what advice would you give yourself?
What would I say about myself? Or what advice would I give about myself? I think I would say, well, so just kind of for your audience, you know, TalentBin is a pivot out of a previous startup called Honestly.com, where when I was a hiring manager, I think like a lot of hiring managers, I didn't really understand the recruiting process. Like, you know, I had a rec that that was open. Like, finance gave me a headcount, and then I went to recruiting, and I said, hi, I need this filled. And then there was kind of a black box on the other side, and I didn't do a very good job of kind of, like, digging into what happened in there. And so, you know, having gone through multiple hires and kind of been frustrated as a hiring manager of not having access to a lot of information to help me understand, you know, who's an A plus, who's a B minus, who's a C, you know, who's a D minus. We kind of initially thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if the same way that you can discover the best dentist in a given geography on Yelp, or the best hotel in a given city on TripAdvisor, or the best, you know, the best product for, you know, on Amazon based on reviews, wouldn't that be awesome if you could do that with individuals as well using community contributed reviews? What we should have done was we should have talked to recruiters from the get-go and been like, hey guys, you know, what do you wish you could do better and faster that if you had like all the time in the world you would do this? And we would have converged on like, hey, you know, that answer much more quickly. I want a better way of finding, you know, Ruby on Rails engineers that no other recruiters know about. That would have been the answer. But, in, you know, we finally got there, but it took the long way around. But we learned a lot in the meantime, so that's good.
Well, you're out there in the hotbed. I want to ask you the craziest recruiting story. You know, I was at, as you well know, I was at Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and they have 60 recruiters for 1,800 employees-ish, if you will, and they're all really busy, and they're all got their heads down trying to fill these positions. What's the craziest recruiting story that you've either been a part of or seen?
The craziest recruiting story that I've been a part of or seen? Well, I can say that I think what's interesting is that the Silicon Valley, I mean, it's not unique to the world, but, you know, there's, you know, the quote-unquote war for talent is particularly strenuous here, especially with respect to technical talent. And so organizations, you know, they have to get really robust at how they do, you know, how they do recruiting. And so sometimes, you know, that can kind of be taken to extremes. So one organization, and they'll – you know, they're a payments company. One of the things that they've realized is that their referral recruiting is really useful. Shocker, right? but one of the things that they've done is they've kind of like, you know, systematized it such that, you know, they have it as part of the onboarding process. What the organization will do is a recruiter sits down with, like, this started happening kind of by, like, organically, and then they systematize it where a recruiter, you know, will sit down with a new software engineer, a new product manager, or what have you, and they'll sit with them and go through the entirety of their Facebook contacts, their LinkedIn contacts, and the people following them on Twitter. I mean, it's not like a gargantuan amount, in order to identify potential referrals. So essentially it's like proactive referral recruiting. And so like historically people have done like proactive referral recruiting, interesting stuff like, hey, we're going to have a referral-a-thon and we're going to get a bunch of pizza and maybe we'll get like a chocolate fountain. And if you give us a couple names, you get to have, you know, some marshmallows from the chocolate fountain or what have you. And this is like, you're coming into the conference room over here where we have the bare light bulb and we're going to sit here and we're going to crank through this. And then when you're done, you're going to say thank you. and you know, this is how it goes. So, I mean, I don't know if it's you know, quite as crazy as some of the stories I've heard about you from Tijuana, William. But I think it just kind of characterizes like how I'm, you know, the extremes to which people will go in order to discover awesome awesome technical talent.
I can neither confirm nor deny the things that happened in Tijuana. Let me ask you about the intersection. We've got about 5 minutes left. The intersection points between privacy and recruiting, where we have different interests at play. As a recruiter, I want to know everything. Everything I can possibly know about a candidate and really round out the story in my mind to really guard against the risk of a potential bad hire, et cetera. As an individual, as a candidate, I care about privacy, let's just say. Where do those worlds intersect in your mind right now? Where do they collide?
So information availability is like a two-way street. Like on the one hand, if there's lots of information availability about you and, now recruiters can discover you and bring you amazing, like, hey, I want to get you a raise. I want to give you an amazing job. So I think that's from a discoverability standpoint, that's interesting. From a filtration and a kind of screening standpoint, I think it's interesting there too. Like I've talked with a lot of the folks at like HireRight and Kroll about how they think about kind of screening from a social, like using social, and I guess this could be considered social recruiting as well, right? Like using social information to help with the screening process. And I think what a lot of those folks have said is that, we can't, like there's too many false positives. We can't disqualify somebody because there's a picture of them, dancing at a bar in Tijuana, William, on Twitter, right, or on Facebook. Like, we can't do that because that's everyone, right? So I think that although that's a boogeyman kind of like fear thing, and there may be people who are engaged in doing that, and they probably shouldn't, because what you're going to end up doing is missing good candidates. That you're gonna have false positives essentially, which is a problem. I think what's gonna happen is, and this is where John Sumser and I differ, is that as people realize the benefits to being discoverable, right, they'll do more of it, right? They'll engage in more activity. So as people realize that now. They're getting discovered by recruiters who are offering them, access to amazing jobs because, they've done a really good job blogging, or they're, an active contributor and user on Twitter. They're answering questions on, online forums or what have you. People will realize once that kind of connection is made that this activity results in this, this upside, then people will realize great. Living online and, exhausting more of this professional activity into the wild is something that not only, I shouldn't be afraid of, but it's something that I should amp up because, now I'm essentially marketing my awesomeness to the world such that opportunities can come to me. And by the way, this is something that LinkedIn thinks about a lot. Before we hopped on this call, Tinkup, you and I were talking about how LinkedIn just sent out that email about you were one of the top 5% viewed, profiles on LinkedIn in the last year. That's because LinkedIn really wants you to get excited and think about your LinkedIn profile as being kind of like the repository of your professional identity and really understand the benefits associated with it. In this case, they're just trying to crystallize to you hey, by the way, people are looking at you. You should probably spiff up that profile. That's kind of LinkedIn's number one challenge is people with sparse profiles. But I think as people realize that good things come out of them being discoverable and them being kind of their professional capacity being nice, nicely on display, people will do more of it.
Fantastic. Listen, we got to roll out. What is the best way for folks to kind of catch up with you after the show and or follow you?
Yeah. I'm Pete@talentbin.com is my email address. Not like I get enough email already, but if you have any feedback or anything, you want to ping me there. I'm also @Kazanji on Twitter, KAZANJY. I have a tendency to tweet about, recruiting and software and hip hop and the San Francisco Giants. But that's pretty much about it. Yeah, like I think you and I were talking at the beginning of the call. Think of if you know, I know that there's a lot of people. There's the whole world of HR is on the line. But if you're, you know, if you work in technical recruiting, TalentIn is something that's kind of made just for you. So you know, check it out. Let us know if it, you know, we can be helpful.
Done deal, brother. Thank you for your time, your wisdom, and everyone have a wonderful day. And thank you for listening to Drive Through HR.
Thanks, Lance.